Justification once again. Romans chapter 3. And I believe we'll read just a couple of verses tonight. But it says in verse number 25, Romans chapter 3, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Father, I pray for complete control tonight. I pray that you would control me, and I pray that folks would yield to you and you would control them to listen, to learn, to adorn the doctrine of God. And I'll give you the praise. And if there's anyone here tonight without Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray that they would be saved before they leave this building. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Now, last week we looked at several things. We looked at the fact that a man is justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for God to be a just judge, he had to deal with the matter of sin before he could make man justified. And we looked at several things last week. And I want to begin by saying this tonight. I heard an illustration the other day on tape with a preacher on TV, and he gave an illustration of doctrine. And of course, doctrine is hard to approach, because doctrine simply means the teachings of the Word of God. When you're talking about, as a matter of fact, doctrine means the teachings of anything. And if I were a Mormon, I'd stand up here and proclaim Mormon doctrine. If I were a Jehovah's Witness, I'd stand up here and proclaim Mormon Jehovah's Witness teaching or doctrine. And so, since I'm a Bible believer, when we say doctrine, we're talking about Bible doctrine or Bible teaching. That's what it means. But doctrine is the nitty-gritty or the fundamental principles of the Word of God. Why God did what he did, how he dealt with man. And I heard the illustration, doctrine is the skeleton of Christianity. Now, that means that doctrine is not always attractive in itself. And this preacher said this, and I thought it was rather acute, and I think it also taught a principle. If you're going to deal with doctrine, you have to be a Bible student. You have to learn the Word of God. You have to have a desire to learn it. And listen, it's difficult for me as a preacher to make these teachings on doctrine what I would say entertaining or interesting. You just have to listen. You have to take the Word of God and digest it. I don't use many illustrations because there's so many scriptures to go over. We'd be on it all night. Now, what I'm saying is this. Since it's the skeleton of Christianity, you have to have a desire in your heart to learn the Word of God before it's going to be interesting. It's like this. When you met your wife or your husband, the first thing that attracted you to them was not their skeleton. Their skeleton, as a matter of fact, if you've ever seen one in a science classroom or a biology laboratory or a zoology laboratory, a skeleton's not attractive. No, the same way with me. When I got saved and became part of the Bride of Christ, I wasn't attracted to him by the doctrine out of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I didn't know what doctrine meant. Had no earthly idea. And a doctrine may not be attractive, but hey, have you ever tried to walk without a skeleton? You take the skeleton out of the human body and it would fall just like that. Well, I'm convinced the reason so many people are confused is people are attracted to Christ and the love of Christ. That's what attracted me. And I was saved. But see, I couldn't live on emotions all my life. And when you try to live on emotions all your life, you're up and down, in and out, off and on, hot and cold, and you suffer. But when I was introduced to Christ, even though doctrine wasn't attractive, I wanted to learn it. I wanted to see what the skeleton was like. And I married my wife not because of doctrine, not because of her skeleton, but what attracted me was her looks, her appearance. And I was saved because Jesus Christ attracted me, but this is necessary. You need this in your soul, in your head, and in your heart, because this is the skeleton of Christianity. You know something? The Bible says so many people are tossed about with so many winds of doctrine. Now, I'll guarantee you, one way to safeguard your mind toward a cult or the charismatics or any other group outside of Bible-believing Christianity is to learn Bible doctrine, and that's what we're doing. May not be so attractive, but it's very necessary, just like the human skeleton. So, we're going to look at the rest of the message on justification. Last week we looked at 2 Corinthians 5:17, where we found out that old relationships have been severed and God has begun new relationships in our lives. Secondly, we found out that God has made us righteous through the Lord Jesus. The Bible goes on to say in Hebrews 10 that He perfected us as far as salvation. And then fourthly, we found out that we had received the fullness of Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us. Now, one other thing in that line of thinking, and we're still thinking of justification. Remember, the just judge. The judge paid the price, and He can redeem us and justify us because He paid the price. Now, another thing that we're considering is the fact that all things that belong to Jesus Christ now belongs to us. Now that's all part, not part of the justification plan, but part of the fact that since that's true, God was right when He justified us. We were saved through Christ. We're not justified because we're good people. We're not justified because we deserve it. We're not justified because we're eloquent or we have money or we don't have money. We're not justified for those reasons. We're justified in Christ. We're saved because when you get saved, you become part of the body of Christ. The only entrance into heaven is through Christ. And it's not your own righteousness, it's His righteousness. And so everything that Jesus Christ has also belongs to me. Now there's a logical progression here. First of all, Jesus Christ removes sin. Secondly, He cancels the indebtedness. Thirdly, He places us in Christ Jesus as a new creation. Fourthly, He gives us the righteousness of Christ as our possession. And fifthly, He brings us to completion in the Son. Then before His judgment bar, His tribunal bar of justice, He can acquit us based upon all those facts. He justifies us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when the judge sentences us or acquits us, He can do it on the basis of justification through Christ. And when He looks at me, I'm justified. When He looks at you, if you're saved, you're justified. And like I said Sunday night and I've said before, no matter what you do in your life after that, even though God places His Holy Spirit, and for the first time in your life when you get saved, you have life, you're not going to be any more saved by the things that you do after you're saved. You're not going to be any more spiritual by what you do after you're saved. It's only as you're filled with the Spirit that you're spiritual. Now, so these other things come because you want to set forth a testimony for Jesus Christ. You want to, and here's what the Bible calls it, you want to adorn the doctrine of God. Because there is a difference. When you got saved, you were changed. There is a difference. God justifies you. You're a different creature. You have a different king now. You have a different location. Your location's in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. You're in a new kingdom. And so God says, all right, adorn the doctrine. Show people. And that's what it's all about. The difference is there. And so justification does not alter the holiness of God, or does it alter the fact you're a sinner. It just simply says Jesus Christ was just because He paid the price, and you were judged in Him,
And so when you die and go to heaven, your sins have already been paid for through the blood. Now, let me give you seven facets of justification quickly. It won't take long. The source of justification. And justification simply means just if you've never sinned. You're just in the eyes of a holy, righteous God. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse number 30. Romans chapter 8, verse number 30. What about the source of justification? Where does it come from? You know, some people have the idea that the God of the Old Testament and Jesus Christ of the New Testament have two different natures. Here's what they picture. They picture the God of the Old Testament as a big old meanie. And the God of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, different. Well, let me tell you something. Do you know why Jesus Christ came? And I fear preachers have done this more than anything else. Preachers will get up and say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They had a big tribunal conference, and all of a sudden, Jesus said, I know what we can do. I'll die for him. And, all right, now listen to me. Jesus Christ loves you, and he loves me. But Jesus Christ, listen, God the Son, the body, the Godhead bodily devised a plan of salvation, because that's one distinct person with three distinct personalities. If you figure that one out, then I'll tell you how you can grow blue eggs or something. I don't know. But let me tell you something. God the Father is the one that loved this world. Now listen, Jesus loves it, but who is the source of justification? It says in that verse, for God so loved the world. So the God of the Old Testament wasn't some big meanie. God the Father loves just like God the Son. And the source of justification, God the Father. Look at verse number 30. Well, let's look at 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I believe verse 28 is talking about God the Father. Verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of who? His Son. All right, so God the Father in verse 28, God the Son in verse 29, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, still talking about God the Father, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also what? Justified. So who's the source of justification? God the Father. God the Father is not some meanie. God the Father loves you as much as God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we talk about God the Son more. Because the Bible says he is the mediator between the Godhead and man. And when we go to heaven, it's through God the Son's blood. But God the Father loves you, and he is the source of justification. Secondly, the ground of justification, of course, is the blood. Romans chapter 3, verse number 24. Romans chapter 3, verse number 24. The ground of justification, the basis, is the blood. The Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his what? Blood. The basis, the ground of justification is the blood. Now thirdly, Romans 3:28, we're justified by faith. The Bible says in Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. That's the instrument of justification. We're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So we're justified by looking unto the work that God Almighty and Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's by faith. You're justified by faith. Then the Bible says that over and over again. It's not by works. If you just flip over to Romans chapter 4, verse number 5, it'll emphasize the same thing. Romans 4, 5, it says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So that's as plain as anything can be, that it's not to him that can work for God that is justified, but it's him that looks to God by faith. And so faith is the instrument of justification. Romans 5:1. It says, therefore being justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the source is God the Father. The ground of justification is by blood. The instrument is by faith. It's not by works. And then Romans 3:24 tells us we're justified by grace, the very essence of justification. We don't deserve it. It was out of God's love for us. We deserve hell. And God said, all right, whether they deserve it or not, I love them and I want to save them. You know, something I heard the other day is Jesus Christ was a sacrifice. Now you think about this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And someone gave a definition of sacrifice. Sacrifice was giving something that was valuable for something that was more valuable. Or something that was important for something that was more important. Now, based on that definition, if that's true, then God the Father loved us. And I'm not sure, and just to be honest with you, I'm not sure of the theology, but I think that if you think about it, it has to be true. God the Father loved us more than his own Son, or he wouldn't have sent his Son to die on the cross for us. Now you think about that. And he loved his Son more than we could ever love. Now, that sacrifice, if the definition of sacrifice is giving something important for something more important, then God sacrificed his Son for us. Now you think about it. That's love. That's God, because God is love, justified by grace. That means without a cause. He had no cause to justify us or make us joint heirs with Christ. And so the essence of justification is grace. And then the agent of justification is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Who does all the work in this? Well, God the Father is the source of justification, and God the Son gave his blood, but God the Holy Spirit had a part, because he is the agent that actually cleanses and changes the heart. He's our police officer, right? You can't get away from him. He's with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is our agent. We're justified by the Spirit. And then, let's look at another thing. What about the evidence of justification? Look at James chapter 2. The evidence of justification. James chapter 2, verse number 21. In this sense, we are justified by works. That's what it says. That's the evidence of justification. James chapter 2, verse number 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You said, now hold it. You just said it was by grace, yes? The evidence before God is grace. The evidence before man is works. If you're justified, the Bible says you will give Bible-based evidence by doing something for Jesus Christ, by living for him. That's the works and everything that goes with it. And so the Bible says, look at verse number 24 in James chapter 2. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now, faith justifies us toward God, but God says, all right, now that you're saved, you have a testimony. How important are works? Very important. Not for salvation, but for the evidence of salvation. So these people who say, well, I don't have to do anything. You don't have to, but it shows that you're saved. Right. Did you hear me? It's evidence. Amen. Evidence. We're in a courtroom. We have a judge. He knows the heart. And the evidence of your justification before man is works. That's what it says in verse number 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She was justified. What does that mean? Well, she was saved and God knew her heart, but she proved it by helping God's people. That's what she did. She proved her justification by aiding the spies to get away. That was her work. And so we're justified by works, not for salvation, but to evidence the work of justification. And then lastly, we're justified in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, common passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:21, justified in Christ. The Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When we're saved, we are placed by the agent of salvation, the Holy Spirit, into Christ. It's not only that Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, lives within us, it's that we are in him. And everything that we have in Christianity, in the Bible, in salvation, comes because we are in Christ. And so the Bible says here that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're in Christ. We're justified in Christ. And that's why we can go to heaven. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6, first of all, and then 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17, and then I'm through. Turn to Ephesians 1, 6, and put your finger there and turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. I've said so many times that apart from Christ, you don't have church. Apart from Christ, you don't have Christianity. As a matter of fact, Christ is Christianity. Salvation is not in anything you can do. It's in a person. Jesus is salvation. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted," where? "In the beloved." He has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 17. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Now, let me ask you this. How in the world are you going to be able to have boldness when the judge of the universe is judging you? How? Even if we could live a righteous life, I mean, we were saved and then God says, "All right, now you live a righteous life and I'm not going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm just going to let you do it." And even if a man, after he was saved, could live sinless and spotless just by the fact of mere grace, and that's how anyone makes it to heaven, that man is going to stand before the judgment seat by his own merit and fear God because God, and not have boldness for sure, because God is the righteous judge. But see, it says we can have boldness in the day of judgment. And you know how? Because we're going to be judged in Christ. Every judgment that God does for me is in Christ. In Christ. That's the difference. Salvation is in Christ. Justification is in Christ. So it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." How is that? We have the same lifeline. My life is God's life, and God's life is my life. Turn to John 15. I guess there's one more scripture we need to look at. John 15. Of course, this is the vine and the branches, the great sermon by Jesus Christ. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Now, you have to picture the fact that through a vine goes sap. And the way that your branches are kept alive is as the sap flows, the life-giving nutrients of the earth goes up through the roots and it goes into the vine, and the sap keeps everything alive. All right? It says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. You see that? No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now look at verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now what happens if the sap is cut off going into a branch of a tree or a vine? What happens? Let me give you an example. My mom needed a clothesline. This must have been 25 years ago. My dad's about like I am at home. It takes about 20 years to get through to me that we need a clothesline. And so I just think about it and I pray about it and I expect God to bring a rope in and accept, you know, so. But my dad put it off and put it off, and he never bought a pole. And so we had this big old, I think it was called a water maple, back about 20 paces from the house. And it wasn't that big then, but it grew. And so instead of buying a pole to put up, we had two trees. And they were probably 75 foot apart. And so he tied into one tree and tied into the other tree with wire and just left them there. In a few years, you know what had happened? For a while, we had a half a tree. Now, I'm serious. Mom just had that cut down last year and the year before, not too long ago. I mean, half a tree. It just looked like half a tree because the other half was tied to a main trunk line. And it had cut that rope, that wire, had cut that branch off. And finally, one day, it just kaboomed. It came off, and you had half a tree. What happened? The sap was cut off. You know what happens in the Christian life when you try to live the Christian life outside of Christ? And when you do that because of rebellion, or you're just simply out of fellowship with God, then that life-giving sap is cut off. Now, you won't get lost, but you'll wither like that branch did. And then God says he'll take those withering branches and take them, and they'll be judged. All right? So what am I saying? Everything you have is in Christ. And so when Christ says, here's what I want you to do, you say, why? Because everything in the Christian life is in Christ. And when you take the blessings of God over here and say, hold it, God, I don't want this. He says, all right, I'll just have to take my blessings back because you took the sap away. And that's abiding in Christ. And so, in Christ, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, and here's the clincher. Since your life is lived in Christ, you're in Christ, you're justified in Christ, you're saved, you're propitiated in Christ, you can't do anything in the Christian life and be happy without him. You can't do it. Now listen, in Christ, that's the key. You're justified. Seven facets of justification. Seven facets. You're justified by God, justified by blood, justified by faith, justified by grace, justified by the Spirit, justified by works, and justified in Christ. And I think it's a blessing to think that God says, as I am in the world, so are ye. Because we have the same life, and that's eternal life. Now, Father, I pray that you bless our invitation. Lord, I love you. And